Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Campus Activewear Limited's Quarter 3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Before we proceed on this call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our businesses that could cause future results, performance, or achievement to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. The Campus Activewear's management team is represented by Mr. Nikhil Agarwal, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Sanjay Chhabra, CFO, and Mr. Uplaksh Tiwari, CBO. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Agarwal, Whole-time Director and CEO, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining us today for our Quarter 3 and 9-month FY26 earnings call. We continue to demonstrate strong performance in Quarter 3 and 9-month FY26, driven by our focus on widening distribution and strengthening our product mix, which has resulted in a higher ASP. The robust demand during the festive season, coupled with the positive impact of GST rationalization, has further accelerated our performance. During the quarter, we are elated to report that our revenue surged by 14.3% YOY and our profit after tax grew by 37% YOY, owing to sustained growth across the channels. We take a highly focused approach to product segmentation with our portfolio encompassing various occasions, channels, and consumer mindsets. Building on this strong foundation, we are expanding our design expertise into full-scale apparel, maintaining the same agility and consumer-centric innovation that has characterized our activewear journey. As pioneers in offering premium sneakers at affordable prices, we remain committed to making high-quality, design-forward footwear accessible to a wider audience. Our sneaker portfolio has doubled in volume, validating strong consumer adoption. The trend of premiumization continues to play out positively for us, with ASP rising by 5.2% YOY to INR 711 in Quarter 3 FY26. This growth has been aided by a higher saliency of premium SKUs and strong acceptance of our refreshed collections. At the beginning of Quarter 3, we launched our brand campaign, You Go Girl, featuring the actor Kriti Sanon. This campaign has meaningfully strengthened our connection with women consumers who navigate life on their own terms, unbothered by labels and guided by choice. We are thrilled to see that the campaign resonated strongly with our female consumers, resulting in an improvement in the women's category mix. On the manufacturing front, we are pleased to share that our Pontasai facility, which focuses on upper manufacturing, has now fully stabilized. Additionally, we commenced commercial production of premium uppers at our Pantnagar facility in January 2026. This enhancement of our integrated manufacturing capabilities will equip us to meet the rising demand for premium products in the coming quarters. With more than 90% of our raw materials sourced locally and all assembly conducted in-house, our manufacturing ecosystem is not only compliant, but also strategically independent within a BIS-regulated environment. As a natural progression of our brand, we have strategically ventured into athleisure apparel in January 2026. This expansion not only broadens our addressable market, but also unlocks incremental revenue opportunities from our existing customers, while enhancing store productivity. This move aligns perfectly with Campus's long-term vision of becoming one of India's prominent lifestyle brands. Looking ahead, we remain focused on disciplined execution, customer-centric innovation, and strengthening our operational efficiencies. These efforts are aimed at ensuring long-term value creation for all our stakeholders. Thank you, and now I hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Sanjay Chhabra, to take you through more details on the Quarter 3 and 9-month performance.
Thank you, Nikhil. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us in Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings call for Campus Activewear. Highlighting on Quarter 3 FY26 performance, our operational revenue grew by 14.3% YOY to INR 589 crores in Quarter 3, largely benefited by higher distribution, which has registered a growth of 9%, and online channel, which has grown by around 18%. The company sold approximately 8.3 million pairs in quarter three. The average selling price grew by around 5% year-on-year to Rs. 711 in quarter three. Women's and kids' share in the revenue mix has improved from 18.7% last year to around 22% during this quarter. Our gross margins were 53.1% in quarter three versus 51.2% in quarter three last year due to higher sneaker mix and higher other income or operating revenues, which is partly offset by lower mix of open footwear and also because of change in accounting policy by our e-com portals, FK and Myntra, resulting in a lower revenue and lower freight or commission cost. Our EBITDA for quarter three was INR 115.8 crores. The EBITDA margin stood at 19.5% during the quarter, an improvement of 290 basis points versus last year, driven by seasonality and execution-led higher sales in key channels, helping us to leverage our fixed cost more efficiently. Our PAT for quarter three was INR 63.7 crores. The PAT margin stood at healthy 10.7% during the quarter, an improvement of 175 basis points versus last year. Our balance sheet remains strong with return ratios, that is return on capital employed at 20% and return on equity of 17.6% as of December 25. With this summary, I'll now conclude my remarks and open the floor to the moderator for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may please press star and one to ask questions. The first question is from the line of Vidisha Seth from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. I hope I'm audible. Thank you for the opportunity. So growth in the second and third quarter combined has been as high as 15%. So A, if you can break down the underlying levers of this double-digit growth, I understand you talked about widening distribution and product mix, etc., but probably in terms of the strategic alignment, if you could highlight the granularity. And B, since we're a month into the quarter now, have similar growth trends sustained? That was my first question.
So hi, Upland this side. In terms of quarter two and quarter three growth, like you mentioned, around the 15% numbers at a blended level. The core reason for this, of course, is the strength of our distribution and the execution progress, backed with a very strong product story on the lines of sneakers as well as the women's story that both Nikhil and Sanjay mentioned before. So, I mean, very strong execution, partner focus, along with a very strong product point of view, backed with a very strong marketing campaign, which was the You Go Girl campaign that we executed last quarter. I think all of these things linked together is the reason why we are delivering this. And anything else on the forward-looking, I don't think we will be able to give any specifics on the
Got it. My second question was that if I were to break down the region-wise the revenue mix, there's been a good spike in the northern region where the mix has gone up from 40% to 47%. So are there any focused efforts being undertaken for the specific region, or would it be pertaining to weakening competition? If you can throw some light on the same, please.
No, so Isha, hi. No, it's basically a complete focus on, you know, of course we have very different strategies now for every region. So the way we are playing out the distribution channel is, it's a state-specific, almost like a state-specific strategy that has been formulated, and we've been addressing that, you know, for the past two quarters now, almost. So that is what is giving us the leverage also, apart from obviously having a very, very strong product line, which is again like channel focused and region specific also at the same time. So multiple initiatives of these kinds have come together to give us this growth.
Got it. Got it. And lastly, just on the sneaker portfolio, you mentioned that the volume has nearly doubled. So what would the current sneaker portfolio mix be in terms of volume and overall revenue?
So we don't share that number in terms of volume. We just wanted to let you know, of course, the base is also slight. It's like a new category which you just entered in the last one and a half years. But we're basically doubling that volume for the past every quarter almost, right, for the last 1 year. So it's basically, and it's a premium category. It's about 900 to 910 rupees ASP contribution just from sneakers. So it does, you know, materially add to the premiumization.
Got it. I had a few more questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you. All the best.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the strong set of numbers, and thank you for taking my question. My first question is with regards to, you know, the growth in the online format this quarter. It seems, you know, quite great. How much is this, you know, due to the shift of the festivity led, and how much you would see in terms of the core growth on the online space? Also, in addition, if you look at the, while the number of touch points for you have increased from 20,000 to 29,000 or, however, if you look at the number of distributors this quarter, it seems that they have come down. So if you can help us on these two aspects.
So, hi, Gaurav. On these two questions that you asked, specifically on the online front, about 2 years back, we started pivoting our business from an outright-based model to a marketplace model, right? I think we are pretty much complete on the journey. Only one big platform we do outright business model with them. Every other platform today sits on a pure marketplace business. Gives us much stronger control, gives us much stronger levers of running this business, right? And within the larger marketplace ecosystem, I think we have been able to deliver extremely good performance in certain accounts like Amazon. I think the pivot from a marketplace outright to a marketplace business has been the strongest in this channel, and which is also leading to the overall growth of this this vertical. On the general trade side, we have launched a newer format of a super stockist, right? And smaller wholesalers or smaller distributors have been mapped under the super model, and hence you might see a small reduction in the overall distributor count because those are not directly mapped to us. They will be mapped to a intermediary of a super stockist.
That's helpful, Uplaksh. Thanks. Just one more thing. You know, in the past, what we have noticed is there has been quite a volatility in terms of the quarterly performances that we have seen. But going now, how confident are you of, you know, at least sustaining these kind of trends or performances going ahead?
So, Gaurav, we understand, you know, your apprehensions, and, you know, that's what we're trying to fix. We've done a lot of interventions over the past 3 years to bring a sustainable growth and predictable growth to the organization. And you will appreciate that for the past at least 2 to 3 quarters, we've been consistent in doing that. And therefore, you know, we have a high degree of confidence on the way forward, as a lot of those initiatives which, you know, have been planned for the past 3 years are now materializing and coming together. So yeah, we have high degree of confidence on the way forward.
Sure. And just one last question from my end is in terms of the gross margin expansion that we are seeing, and it is also collaborating with the premium contribution of the sneakers portfolio also increased. So can we take the current margins, the gross margin levels at least as a sustainable one going ahead, if not expanding? And if you can also help us in terms of the certain cost initiatives that are helping you to bring the overall cost up, that would be the last set of questions from me.
Hi, Gaurav. Yes, we targeted an improvement in gross margin versus our last year numbers in our annual business plan, and we are sort of consistently heading towards that. However, our business is dependent on seasonality or sort of skewed by seasonality, festivals and marriage seasons, and also the product mix. We are trying to be consistent, and I mean, the next quarter would be more towards open footwear, so it would be unfair to compare quarter-on-quarter gross margins on a full-year basis, that would be a right reflection, and the aspiration is to improve versus last year, right? And on the cost side, of course, we are trying to be more consistent in terms of phasing of our production. That helps us to plan our facilities or lines and optimize on the cost side, which is able to help us in mitigating the inflation on account of minimum wages, etc. And that's what is translating into leverage benefit, which is getting reflected in the numbers.
Sure. So just with one clarification, actually, the reason why I asked this question was this time around, if you look at the ad spend, was quite, saw a decent jump of around 65 crores in absolute that we saw. So wanted your comments in this context that is the ad spend this quarter a bit more higher because of the seasonality, and probably this would normal out for the yearly average that we normally have seen in the past?
Yes, of course. This quarter the ad spends are higher because of our TV campaign and also the digital campaign.
Okay. Thank
but you.
You
know, like it was just to give more clarity on that. We are, as you know, focused on long-term brand building, and we did about 10.2%, if I'm correct, in quarter three last year on the ad spend versus 10.9%. So this is, of course, a quarterly seasonality thing as well. At the same time, we'll be in line with the overall ad spend that we've planned within the budget, you know. So, you know, we don't want to reduce on the ad spend at this point.
And just lastly, sorry if I may slip in one more question. On the new athleisure apparel venture, if you can, you know, give us more insight into what, is it just now, right now, only introduced in the EBOs, or is it also piloted in some MBOs as well? How are you going about it? How are you thinking about it? Some more color you can give on it.
Sure. So, it's currently, firstly, we are very excited to launch this entire new category. This has been on our bucket list for quite some time, and we're glad that we came around to getting it launched. Basically, it's going to, you know, increase our addressable market significantly, and we expect, because this is a similar model to, you know, how the bigger companies, the MNCs, have grown across the world, and this is a natural pivot for us as a sports company and organization. And this should incrementally add to the per store economics, you know, meaningfully. But at this point, it's basically a pilot that we've done in about 60 odd EBOs. And this will, you know, we will continue to add more EBOs, because there's a small change we have to make into the EBO as well, to add a, you know, trial room and a certain area dedicated for apparel space. So as we're doing that, we'll continue adding more and more stores to the mix. But at the same time, we've also launched it on our brand.com and Myntra and Amazon. So it's been launched on these three platforms at the same time. So so far, the result is very encouraging.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Nikhil.
Thanks, Varun.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Mehta from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great quarter. My first question was on online. So continuing on what Gaurav was mentioning, you've seen an acceleration in online growth despite a slightly early festive this time around. Are you tracking share gains on the platforms? Anything on that front if you can highlight? This is whatever data you get from the platform.
So yeah, I mean, we, like I mentioned earlier, that there is a very strong pivot towards the marketplace business, and we are aggressively expanding this channel as well. This means the pivot has been very strong, as well as the women pivot, one of the strongest channels to have delivered both of these key organizational directives has been the online channel. And I mentioned earlier, there has been a very strong shift or incremental uptick in our Amazon business as well. We have pivoted completely from an outright plus market business to a complete market business over the last 18 months. And we have been able to work a lot on the input metrics or the metrics that are required to succeed. So we are trying to get better at the marketplace operations as much as we can. And as well as on the Since there is no published data that these channels offer us, I would not be able to comment on that, but of course there would be some improvements for sure, looking at our performance.
Understood. And what was the mix of marketplace versus outright and 3Q?
So apart from, there is only one platform that we do outright business today, that is Flipkart.
Okay. Possible to share a percentage of online sales which came from marketplace versus outright?
Would be approximately 80-20. Or like 75-25, roughly.
Got it. And second question was for Sanjay sir. So on this inverted duty structure, what would be the approximate impact if there's no resolution by year end for the full year?
We are still evaluating. I mean, as far as raw materials is concerned, we have started filing refunds with the state governments for the inverted duty structure.
Okay, got it. And just one bookkeeping. So could you call out the optical or basically the adjustment in business model of the online platform? What was the impact on top line and other expenses this quarter?
Yeah, for this quarter, it was approximately 10 CR.
Got it. Thank you so much, guys. And all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir, and thanks for taking my question. First of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, I believe that there is a GST rate cut for a large part of the products that you sell, and this quarter would also have seen some impact of channel upstocking, which is what the feedback is wherever there are GST cuts. So if you strip out the, or let's say just look at channel upstocking first, would you be able to like give us a adjusted number of our growth this quarter if you adjust for that?
We don't see any channel upstocking. I mean, our inventory with the channel partners continue to be at 84 days at the end of this quarter from our DMS data, which hovers in the range of 80 to 90 days. So it is very much within the norms. And so far as we believe that we are working on replenishment models. So whatever secondaries are happening, we are able to match it with commensurate primary sales and keeping an eye on the inventory levels with the distributor partners.
Got it, sir. And if I may ask, at a consumer level, what would be the price reduction on a blended basis for Campus as a company?
Because at a consumer level,
yeah,
we have, at different price points, we had to change the MRP. So let's say the MRP reduction would be in the range of 5-6%.
But for you, like a large part would be in the range of 1,000 to 2,500 MRP, right?
All of it actually. Yeah,
but there the GST cut is from 18 to 5, so technically a 10-11% kind of a price cut should have been passed on, right?
No, but our selling price normally is below 1,000, no? So it is for us, the ex-factory pricing is normally at 12%.
You're looking at the MRPs, Sameer, right?
Yes, yes.
You're looking at the MRPs, but our transaction value, our billing value is like 50% of the MRP. Approximately as a thumb rule.
But sir, the GST rate would be dependent on the MRP only, right?
Sameer, sorry, if your correction is to at a consumer level, the consumer level, benefit would be higher.
Got it, sir, got it. Thank you, sir. Thanks for this. Lastly, sir, with free trade agreements being signed, I know it's out of context, but footwear as a sector has become more competitive as an export, and given your manufacturing prowess, would you be like exploring this opportunity going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's an exciting opportunity, given that we are one of the lowest cost producers as a country, right? So we'll definitely be exploring that market.
So any plans as to capex or supply augmentation in near future?
No, we've already invested, as you know, into Pantnagar, and Ponta just came online and stabilized. And Pantnagar, the new investment that we recently announced 4 months back, is already live with production. So now we expect to stabilize that plant soon, and that will definitely add to the existing capacity. So we're good for the time being. We don't need to invest more.
But, sir, that would be for the domestic market, right? I mean, if you're exploring newer markets in exports, you would still need more capacity plus some level of business exploration, etc., some team there or something on those lines also, right?
Adding capacity is not a constraint, as we already, we've invested into the building, landed building of Pantnagar, which is anyways very, very large. We are just activating a small portion of that. So we have enough space to, add capacity as and when required. And it's very quick for us. Like, we don't take time to do that.
Great, sir. Thanks for this. I'll be back in the queue for any follow-ups. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Resham Jain from VVT Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Nikhilji. So I have two questions. First one is with respect to the apparel business. You mentioned that you're doing athleisure apparel primarily through EBOs right now. Is that correct?
Hi, Resham. No, so it's EBOs, of course, is a big focus, but we've also launched on brand.com, campershoes.com, and Myntra and Flipkart. Amazon, not Flipkart, Amazon.
Okay, and possibly compared to the existing footwear business, this will have a much larger online play, given that this category itself is very large and you are the largest player on the footwear side. So that will give some help to you on the online side.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Online is a big market for this category. On the offline side, we've just started with EBOs. First, we'd like to cover the base of EBOs, and possibly we can look at the GT model later, but that's like a little too early to call that out. Online would be definitely a key market for us to focus on.
Okay, understood. And the second one is on the EBOs. It's a very small piece right now, but given that our price points, which is comparatively much lower than most of the other footwear retail players, how are we thinking about the EBO strategy? Also, in context to most of the foreign brands now, they are more focusing on the experience store rather than a typical retail store. So, any thoughts on the EBO strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've not actually increased the overall count in this last 1 year versus last year, FY25. In these 9 months, FY26, our count is more or less static because we've shut down a few non-profitable stores and we've opened a few, right? So currently the focus for us is on profitability, first. We're focusing a lot on profitability and opening stores very judiciously accordingly. So rather than just going, all out on opening stores and adding to the cost. So that's apparel is a big part of that, as it will add to incremental revenues on a per square feet basis. So, we want to absolutely bring profitability first and then continue adding more stores. So possibly going a little bit slower than what we initially anticipated to. So, plus, you may want to add anything.
Yeah, on the EBO front, right? We are trying to get a unit economics at a store level perfectly right. The apparel and the other some ancillary category addition to the store is an effort in that direction as well, right? We as a strategy wanted to open commercially viable stores because a large part of our EBO network is operated through a franchise partners. Right, so profitability of this partner is very imperative, and we want to get that economics perfectly right. In terms of the experiential store, there will be certain important stores that we will open. We have had some stores on those lines, like Bandra in Bombay and some other stores on those lines. We have had some stores which were made to exhibit the brand in its entirety. But yeah, at an overall level, profitability will be a very strong pivot, because these stores are being opened across the country through a different multiple franchise partner networks, and to ensure that they are making strong returns on their investment, we need to ensure profitability stays as a core. But this year, since we opened about 300 stores in less than 4 years, right? This year we are looking at as a way to correct our footprint and do a short correction of unit economics, and then after maybe a few months or quarters, we will again get back to expansion on this channel.
Okay. Thank you so much. Congratulations and compliment, especially on the working capital the way you guys are managing. Quite incredible. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rehan Sayed from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, team, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. Like most of the questions have been answered, so I just want understanding regarding your replenishment model. So, sir, in season, replenishment and never out of stock models are key pillars. So, approximately what proportion of quarter three sales came from replenishment versus fresh launches, and how does this mix influence gross margin and inventory risk going forward?
We couldn't get that completely. I think there was some voice jittery there, but what I understand is you're asking about replenishment versus the core. Like, replenishment is a core model, definitely, you know, that we follow. It's the DMS and the digital apps that are that we have on the sales, you know, the feet on street that the sales officers use. And through that model, we basically replenish the inventory which we see at the distributor stock levels, which is diminishing, but which has high, you know, sale through. That's how we replenish, and it's an automatic replenishment model. So we're moving towards that direction. Like, currently we're developing technology to auto replenish, you know, the depleted stock levels.
Okay. And like just clarification, you have mentioned that for this quarter three sales, majority of our revenue come from replenishment, right? Hello, am I audible?
So hi, Rehan, right? Rehan, there is. I'm just trying to explain how the model works. Right? There is a made to stock and a made to order model, right? Okay. So we are trying to move as close to the made to order model. Right. We have distributor meets and retailer meets that we have to have through the year. Right, we have a grand distributor meet that happened in May this year, and followed by a host of retailer meets where the distributor called the retailer partners, and this was done primarily in quarter two this year, and extended into quarter three as well. Right, through this mechanism, we collect orders through a very host of networks in the general trade side. Right, plus we have started using digital tools to make this even more efficient. We are trying to leverage the inventory visibility in DMS to plan our inventory management. We are using a tool to do order gathering at the DMS, at the distributor meet, as well as the retail meet. We have Genesis in our retail POS, through which we use our weekly replenishment package for our EBOs as well. And online also, we use Unicommerce as a partner, through which we run our daily and weekly replenishment cycles, right? So, I mean, there is no way to distinguish what is replenishment. I thought I will explain the definition of replenishment. We use basically a secondary tracking mechanism to be able to drive our business objectives, right? It is not made to stock and then try to push this inventory into the system. We take extra efforts to get input from the market through be it EBOs, be it online, or be it the general trade or retailer network, and create orders or products according to that. Right? So that is what our replenishment model is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you for clarification. Yeah, I'll give them the
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
So three questions. First is, for the quarter, we saw 5% plus ASP increase At the same time, you mentioned because of the GST, we took a 6% odd price cut. That makes it a nearly 11% on product-wise, you know, increase. So where are we getting this increase from, you know, in the market?
Sorry, Ankit, can you come back again with your question?
Sure. I saw there was an ASP increase of 5%.
Ankit, I'm sorry to interrupt. There is a background noise from your end. That is why we are not able to understand what you're speaking.
Sorry.
Can you please be a little quieter?
Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Yes.
We saw a 5% ASP increase. We had a 5% ASP increase in the quarter, while at the same time you mentioned that there was a 6% you know price cut due to GST. So if the GST cut would not have happened, probably the ASP increase would have been 11%, 12% odd. Where are we getting this ASP increase from at the full portfolio?
Ankit, I think your understanding is incorrect. GST never gets added to my sales revenue, no? And hence will not impact my ASP. 5% increase in my ASP during the quarter is primarily driven by improvement in mix. And it is two types of mix. One is your channel mix and one is the product category mix. So in the product category side, our sneaker has shown almost doubled versus last year. So that is one key contributor, and on the other side, on the channel side, the more we sell in the marketplace, we and our own brand.com, we are able to get a better realization, and that results in an improvement in ASP. So the GST has nothing to do with my ASP because that's never part of my sales revenue.
Understood. My second question is on the revenue contribution then. We saw upwards of 1500 rupees contribution increase from 53% to 58%. While I understand on sneaker portfolio, which would be sub 1000, you know, that contribution increasing from 16% to 21%, what has led to the above 1500 contribution?
So it's again, as I mentioned, the second lever, the channel lever. So on, you know, on the online side, the realizations are higher, and hence the saliency has shifted from 1200 to 1500, more towards 1500 and above, and that's what is getting reflected.
Is it a conscious effort to reduce inventory in 1000 to 1500 price point?
There's always an effort to move towards premiumization. So my sneakers are, my realization is higher, the MRP is also higher. So that way, the brackets would change towards premium mix.
But it's also a seasonality mix, because quarter three, of course, we sell higher premium mix, slightly higher premium than, let's say, quarter one, which would be more focused, quarter one, which would be more focused towards open category, right? So there would be some changes in terms of that mix on quarter basis also, in terms of the premiumization and semi-premium saliency.
Referring to more on YOY basis, because quarter 3 FY25 numbers we have, and on that basis, you know, right, even in sub 1000 price point, we have seen a good 400-450 bips movement, you know, sub 1000. So that I can understand, it could be, you know, due to, you know, the sneakers where you said is average is 900-950 rupees price point. But, you know, the gap between 1000 and 1500 from 31% to 20% odd is a very big change in positioning also in the semi-premium category.
Sure. That is also in part to some of the sneakers, you know, that has that have done very well for us in the 1500 plus category. Right, so their saliency has also added to this mix change.
I think there is a bit of a confusion when you mentioning 900, right? When we are talking about 900 as the ASP for sneakers, right? That is my ASP in my revenue, right? And the table I think you're referring to is the MRP table. The share of 1500 to 3000 that you're referring to in the table, that's the MRP table. So that 900 would be correlated to about an 1800 MRP, right? So just to clarify these things, right? So the 900 is my realization. MRP of the product would be tentatively about 1800.
Sure, get it. My last question is on your new brand ambassador. Now, Kriti Sanon was a brand ambassador for a competitor retailer for 3 to 4 years. And in that time, if you look at that retailer's revenue, it didn't move significantly. In fact, they lost significant market share. So what made you sign her as a brand ambassador for the new youth women web product?
Well, we think she resonates very well with the brand, long-term brand building aspirations that we have. And she has significantly contributed. I mean, the campaign has done incredibly well. So I'm not sure of her past or like whatever happened in the previous company, but she's done extremely well in terms of consumer pull. You know, has been significant as the women category, as you know, has grown by almost 40%. So yeah, some share of that credibility we'll have to credit her also to that.
Understood. Thank you, Nikhil, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions at this time. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Nikhil. Congratulations for a growth to come. Nikhil, first question is on athleisure category. The growth is struggling for quite some time now, right? So this is the data that is available for some of the publicly listed players. And we'll be competing against various MNC brands over the preferred online channel where all these players are also present. So I just wanted to check how have we positioned our products to sort of gain share within this category.
So, yeah, no, great question. So, firstly, you know, of course, this is part of our strategy in terms of leveraging the brand equity that we've created over the years, right? And as you know, we are very, very strong in the tier 2 and 3 markets, and now tier 1 as well, is the share is very significant. So, this is a very good add-on, you know, supplementary category to invest for us as a brand. Like, it may not be a very good decision for a newcomer, but for a mature brand like us, it makes a lot of sense. And at the same time, like, the quality and the price points that we have launched it is very, very attractive. So very high quality at very reasonable pricing, right? As we understand, it is a competitive space. So it will take some time to build this category up for sure. But the pilot so far has been very encouraging, and also currently the mix that we've launched in this is more towards summer apparel. The winter collection is still quite fairly new and like less in terms of SKUs. So as we progress into the summer season, we're sure that we're going to get an even better response on top of this.
Great, sir. And second, there is this big GST reduction that has happened for the upcoming launches, for the new season launches that will take place now. So I wanted to check, will we be working with the lower MRP price points, or we are focusing on providing better products at similar pre-GST MRP price points?
Yeah, the value proposition definitely will increase significantly, right? So, for example, the same shoe for $1,500, $1,499, will have significantly more value than what it previously had in terms of the new product launches.
So the MRP, that magic price points that we operate at, right? So they will broadly remain stable, and we will be providing better products, is the right understanding, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So there'll be more value addition, if I can put it crudely, like there'll be definitely more value addition in the same price point.
Understood. And last question from my end, Nikhil. So when we see from a demand environment, post this big GST cut, if you can share your reading from the channel perspective, because our growth has definitely picked up, but there are certain new businesses like women, sneakers, etc., which have added to the overall growth. The like-to-like growth in, say, men's footwear would still be relatively lower versus the company average, if my assumptions are right. So what's your reading on the demand environment as of now? Has it improved, or it is still a bit of a challenge?
So demand has improved to the extent that it normally does a little bit better, of course, in terms of the season as well, in terms of quarter three. And after GST cut, it has improved a little, but I would say the it may improve further going forward because it's still not as per, you know, what the industry is expected. And this is for the entire industry. Like, the demand hasn't picked up the way the industry anticipated it to. And in terms of the growth, so what we have done is, like, we've added and you know, diversified into newer categories, like increasing the share of sneakers and women, and, you know, so these are the ancillary categories that have helped us overcome this demand, let's say, stagnation or whatever you want to call it in the market. And as the GST benefit over time starts flowing into the overall industry demand, it should definitely help us as a tailwind as well.
So just one small final bookkeeping question. From a channel margin perspective, I'm talking about, say, a retailer or a distributor, how are their margins? Are they on MRPs, or there's a fixed component that they get on selling a pair of shoes? So suppose if the MRP is 1500, so the retailer gets, like, say, whatever amount, 20-30% of that MRP, or is it like a fixed amount that he gets for selling that pair?
We have different margin structures, both for retailers and distributors, to take care of, by and large, their fixed cost. And we do run periodic or seasonal schemes or incentive programs, which are targeted both for primary and secondary, to drive certain behaviors. Let's say if I want to propel a women category, or I want to propel some sales in a higher price point. So those all are through tactical seasonal schemes. However, there are defined margin structures for both distribution and retail channel to take care of their fixed costs.
No, so these margins are percentage of MRP, or what is the, what do we say, the
yes.
Anchor point
they
here?
No, they are on a percentage to MRP and not per pair basis.
And even for distributors, or for distributors, it is on percentage of what you bill them?
No, no. Everywhere it is percentage to MRP.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ali Asghar Shakir from Motilal Oswal Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Nikhil and Sanjay, how are you? Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand on the demand side. So, you know, I mean, pretty commendable numbers. We have not seen, you know, similar kind of growth by other footwear companies which have posted or, you know, are likely to post now. So if you can just share some color in terms of, you know, what has driven numbers for us vis-a-vis others. I understand that, you know, online has been a big driving force for you. So if you can just share some more insight over here, because online historically we were having multiple models and, you know, the outright model that you were selling, you know, didn't really work. So how have things changed and, you know, I mean, what is the sustainability of this growth?
Hi, Ali. No, so like we've already called out in the call, so multiple initiatives, you know, we've taken. So demand certainly isn't as expected, you know, by the industry. It's not picked up as much, as is evident, you know, from the other companies' results also. So what has worked differently is that a culmination of things like sneakers, women, sneakers portfolio edition, and women's, we've added to the women's category significantly in terms of the SKU count. And the NPD launches have been very well received along with the brand ambassador. So, you know, that's worked really well. And apart from that, online, of course, is a big focus area. It's always been, but we've also been very aggressive online, along with the profitability, it's not just a burn model for us. It's profitable, you know, more than I think the other companies that operate on. And of course, we've added on to, in terms of GT, general trade, we've added a number of retailers as well, like 29,000 count is the first time we've reached that kind of count. So that has given much more predictability to the cash cow channel for us, which is the distribution channel, right? So number of these things, it's not just a nothing has changed for us in one quarter is what I'm trying to say. This is a culmination of the effort for the past 2 years. You know, like the range, any product range that we need to launch today, the journey for that starts at least a year, you know, before, like we have to conceptualize and think about the future products that have to be launched. So, for example, currently we're working on 2027 range. 26 is already done and dusted, right? For us, like, it's already in the bag. So that's how, that's the cycle, you know, in terms of innovation and product development that we work on. And so whatever has happened in this quarter is of course, incredible performance by the sales team. And at the same time, you know, we were able to execute very well in terms of all the demand that was generated for the articles. Right, so it's just number of things coming together. I would put it like that.
God, this is very useful. So incremental growth, if you can share how much has come from the women category as well as the new sneaker category that you have launched, and I understand this would have come mainly on the online channel, given that is the segment which has grown significantly.
So sneaker has done well across both the platforms, across distribution and online, right? So distribution, of course, the MRPs would be slightly lower than online, but overall, like, sneaker has been very well accepted across platforms, and you know, we don't see so we see a healthy growth going forward. So that's where we've invested in terms of capacities as well, to make very high-end sneakers. You know, and I don't think many setups exist in India today, at least to manufacture these quality of sneakers, the ones that we have invested in.
Okay, so could you share, in out of this 14% growth, how much would have been your new products, specifically the women and sneaker category, would have contributed to your growth?
We don't share that data, Ali, unfortunately, okay. Because it's like a strategic, sure, confidential data, right? So,
sure.
Yeah.
And that is what has also driven your margins, improved realization and margin is mainly because of the new products coming at a slightly higher price point?
Yeah, Ali, I would attribute that margin expansion primarily to the mix part. As I mentioned earlier, it is both the levers, product mix, and which is sneakers, and the channel mix, which is online. So both played its role as far as material or gross margin is concerned. And we are highly skewed towards quarter three. This is our biggest quarter. So that has resulted in some leverage also, fixed cost leverage, which has helped us to expand our EBITDA margins.
Got it. And going now into the new season, you think, this kind of growth is sustainable with the new products that you have launched and the amount of funnel that you are creating towards, creating new products?
Again, I think it's a forward-looking statement. I would refrain from commenting on that. However, our sales are, like, each quarter is a different quarter by virtue of seasonality, festival occasion or marriage season. And as I mentioned initially, that quarter four would be, the later part would be more towards open footwear. So we need to take that into perspective, both in terms of revenue and also in terms of product mix.
Yeah, I understand that part, Sanjay, but
Mr. Shakir, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. I would request you to for follow-up questions.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Tejas Shah from Avendus Spark Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So you highlighted sneakers and a new category, women category, as a key growth lever for this quarter. What percentage of our network is currently dealing in these products?
I think just Uplak this side. Every part of our network today primarily would be dealing in these two categories. The extent of penetration of these categories will be different depending on the evolution of the channel. A more modern channel will have a slightly higher share of women than sneakers. A slightly traditional channel will have a lower share. But there would be no channel currently in our ecosystem that we would not be focusing on these categories. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. So basically, as of today, whichever channel fit that we understand, the products are placed there. So there is not placement-led lever is not there from here on. Is that the right understanding?
Penetration, placement can be wider, placement can be deeper, right? So those levers will always keep on getting activated. Even if you're there in 300 stores, you can always be in 400 stores, right? So that will never stop, I think. And since these are newer categories from our evolution, I think there will always be scope for further enhancement of these categories. The scale and the quantum of growth will, of course, over time taper once we reach a critical mass. But I think they will continue to be growth drivers for us, at least in the near future.
Perfect. Very clear. Second, what's the primary kind of value proposition that is working for us in sneakers? Is it largely fashion or functionality, or is it performance and price? Obviously, the answer could be all of this, but just as a key proposition, what is working?
By the construct of this category, it works on fashion and look and feel more than functionality. That is the reason why consumers buy this category, to look good and not to go for a run, right? That is the intrinsic nature of this category. So this category first pivots on fashion and look and feel. But also the added, we would want to, since we as a brand have been known for our value proposition of comfort and durability, we would build these added advantages to every product that we do. Right, so that underlying value proposition of campus will never go away. But of course, this category being a fashion-driven category or something you wear to look good, right? So that fashion element will always be there. And hence, we try to take aspiration and inspiration from the best in the industry or from the leading trends of the market.
Sure. And last one, a follow-up here. In this stage of product NPD evaluation and then acceptance also, how do we get confidence that there is a demand pull or repeat purchase which is getting created, and then hence there is a very wider acceptance of the product and not just the initial kind of push growth which is happening?
So, I mean, the first phase, of course, is to get the products placed, right? There is a demand generation which we do through our partner network. Be it our partners can be a distributors, can be a review partner, can be LFR partners, can be an online partners, right? We take inputs from them in terms of what is the requirements. We create products accordingly. We do our consumer immersions. We understand what is happening in the market, what is happening in other countries, what's happening in competition, what's happening as from a trend point of view, right? Then our first objective is to get these products placed in the market to the extent possible, right? So there has to be a minimum throughput placement to drive understanding of the success of the product, right? Suppose that we do understanding of feedback from a retailer or a consumer point of view to understand what works well and what doesn't well. We have a very big network of our own stores as well, right? 300 stores is a very big base for us to do any form of A-B testing that we want to do, right? So we get that feedback, and depending on the feedback and the response, we know whether this will be one of our top iconic products, or will it be a great product, or it may not be as high a volume as we might have anticipated, right? So that is after the first set primarily goes into reach. And then depending on the consumer or retailer's point of view, we take a call on how do we replenish it. But our first fill is wide enough to ensure that we get a very strong data input from the market.
Quite clear. Thanks, and all the best for coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question for today's con call. On behalf of Campus Activewear Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and in case of any further queries, please reach out to Campus Activewear's Investor Relations team at ird@campusshoes.com. I repeat, ird@campusshoes.com. Once again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.